Well, hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Unlocked. It is my pleasure to have you guys here today. It's Tracy Wilson, your host. And in just a few moments, I'm going to be joined by my very special guest, Consuela Buckley, today. And I'm going to pop her up on the screen. I can just see, I'm just hoping, I've got my fingers in my face today, that we are going to have a good day with the internet gods. Because last week we had a bit of in and out with our guests because they were up in the mountains. And it's funny because I was just talking with some of our students inside of our program yesterday, like troubleshooting various different things and saying, you know, sometimes you have power outages, which don't happen very often. But I tell you what, I blinked yesterday, jumped back on Facebook, and the entire, east part of Queensland was like completely out of power. So what are the chances of that? I'm going to pop Sway up onto the screen very, very shortly after I tell you all about her, because you guys, if you are right now thinking about me and my significant other have got some ideas about starting a business of our own. You know, how could we do this, and how do we make sure that we don't end up in a pickle, that we don't end up, you know, fighting and arguing about various different things, which I know is often, you know, the challenge when you have your significant other work with you. When I bring Sway onto the screen, she's going to talk to us about what her and her husband, OL, have been doing for the last number of years. Prior to her doing what she's doing now, which is actually helping other people who are in business together, who are married or are in business with their significant other, actually navigate the world of entrepreneurship, and be able to create a place where they're both in sync, where they are working at a very high level, and that they're creating high level systems that have laser focus and that are able to build profitability year on year on year, and also be able to build a legacy together. That is what today's show is all about. Sway actually started her very first business way back when she was 16 years of age. She actually started a tutoring company where she had one paying client. And ever since then, obviously, entrepreneurship has been running through her veins. And she went from running, you know, that little business in her dorm, on her floor in her college dorm, to ending up being able to help thousands and thousands of young lives. Now, as I mentioned, her and her husband, OL, are creating the Marriedpreneur Initiative. And you can find out more about that on marriedpreneurlife.com, where, like I mentioned earlier, they are helping high-achieving leaders and entrepreneurs sink in together, creating high-level systems with laser-clear strategy that enable them to build profitability year on year on year. So, that being said, without further ado, let's pop her on the screen, shall we? Let's just get her up here and say hi.
Hi. Thank you so awesome much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And just for everybody else that was wondering, hey, Trace, why were you a little bit late? Well, as we do in business, and as you do, you know, particularly in entrepreneurship, often you're trying to do things and you're running between places. And Sway was just in the car. And I said, look, rather than, be panicked and try to kind of get on the show whilst you're still trying to get yourself settled into a hotel, hey, let's just take a breather for a moment and, give you 15 minutes to get yourself up into that hotel room and get you sorted. So great to have you here, Sway. Let's kind of delve into this conversation of life, business life with your significant other. Funnily enough, I've been, I do a lot of camping with my family, and, lots of people kind of are challenged by even the mere thought of having to put a tent up together with your significant other. That tends to be one of those things that creates, it can create a problem before you even get started. So putting up a tent in comparison to like, now I'm going to start a business with this person, I'm going to be with them all day, every day, and, fingers crossed that everything goes well. Let's kind of kick into how that all started for both you and OL, and then we'll get into some of the things that you guys do now to make sure that you always kind of stay, that you're always in alignment, that you're on the same page, and that you can continue to build your business that has profitability and also legacy. So where did this all begin?
Yes. Oh, that's a loaded question. So let me start from the beginning. First thing, I realized that there are quite a few misconceptions about working with your spouse. For example, my husband and I, although we are building businesses, which is legacy, building that together, regardless if you're in business or not, you're working together with, you know, someone, then you are building together. You're building a legacy. Now, although we are building individual businesses as well as a business together, we are maybe under the same roof most of the day, but we're not together most of the day. Mm-hmm. So I want to make that clear too, because mm-hmm. you don't have to be right up under your spouse the whole time. Now, if that's what you choose to do, hey, whatever floats your boat, then go with it. But, you know, I think to each their own, you know, some people flow like that, others don't. We enjoy being together, but we are not together all the time, if that makes sense. When we first started, that wasn't necessarily the case. My husband, his background is in banking and wealth management. And when we got married, I was already building the business as I started, you know, at 16, a tutoring company, and at 19 on my dorm room floor, a staffing company. And then later on to build a consultancy. So by the time we got married, I built already like three different businesses. And he was in banking. We did know, however, that there was something that we were to build together. We just didn't know what it was going to look like. And so maybe like the second or third year within our marriage, we knew that God was telling him to leave the bank. Like it was time to do something bigger. But the first and the 15th kept coming, and he kept getting promoted. Mm-hmm. And he was like, every time he was about to walk away, he would get promoted. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was very ironic. And so it got to the point, I think maybe the fourth promotion, I said, okay, do you see a cycle here? Do you see a pattern? Every time you decide to walk away, you're being promoted or even like, you know, recruited by another bank. And so he was, you know, moving to different banks and really a great, you know, producer. And that's, I know your background, banking. So that's what they want, right? You can produce and make them money. They want you. Well, something kind of crazy happened. The last bank that recruited him, he was actually outperforming his supervisor. And that didn't end well at that location. I'll say that. So it just turned out where they were like, oh, no, it's not working out. But we already knew. We said that was going to be his last promotion at the bank. We just didn't know it was not the bank. We just didn't know it was not going to be on his terms. And so that really forced him and forced us to really dig in deep, because we also knew that he wasn't supposed to like just jump right back into working for someone else right away, because we knew that this path was waiting for him. So, you know, he decided to start working with what the knowledge he already had and started helping families and built out his own consultancy. And now he's a part owner with a realty firm. And he also has his own consultancy where he helps new investors begin investing in real estate. But it started off with him helping just with what he already knew, lowest hanging fruit with banking and personal finance, right? So it grew from there. At that moment, we had a office at the house. It was my office because I was an entrepreneur. And so what happened is that became our office. And so we had two desks in that room and they were facing each other. And that was very, very early, very, very early in this path. And so we started working in this office. And this is when we were literally facing each other. It didn't really make a big of a difference to us. We were just trying to get things done. We were trying to like make it happen because everything was so abrupt. And so we, you know, we just did what we had to do. And then I realized we needed to have some type of systems in place, because once he left the bank, I would ask questions like, okay, what's your activity? What are you doing? Right? Because the first and the 15th, they don't mean the same thing in entrepreneurship. If you're not taking action, there's no traction, right? And there's no monetization. So what are you doing? And then I started to feel like I was a nagging wife, right? He didn't say it, but I felt it coming on. But, you know, women, we like security and we like to know, okay, if we're doing this together, you need to, what are you doing? And so I started taking on extra clients just to make sure, you know, padding, I would take on like extra, just extra work that normally I would turn down just because I was full. I was, you know, full to capacity. But then I said, this is not sustainable. Right. And this is not what I desire to do. So he and I need to work together and find a way to, communicate about what the goals are, what this legacy looks like. And so that's when I suggested we start doing what we call today legacy meetings. It didn't start out like that, but it was really about accountability. But he didn't know I was just trying to find out what was he doing, right? It was an opportunity for me to share what I was doing and an opportunity for him to share what he was doing. And it kind of brought his defenses down. We could talk about it every day. We did that over breakfast. And then if he would like, then I would offer some insight, because I'd been at this literally, you know, half my life at that point. And so he was starting to be more open with it. But that's it started with us. Like, we are our own product because we needed these systems in place. And so when that happened, a lot of my clients and his clients, both my clients and his clients, both asked us together if we could coach them. Right. And so we were like, no, we don't coach. Like, we don't do this together. Like, what do you want? This is for us. We didn't create these systems for everybody else. This is just for us, so we can stay married, so we can stay happily married, like all the things. Right. And so about a year went by before we said, OK, I'm going to go ahead. I think this is a sign that we're supposed to help other people. I don't even know what they want. But we started and did a big strategy day with a VIP, like with a couple, to like a VIP session. And we just thought that was it. But then they started telling their friends and then their friend. And so we were like, OK, I guess we're really supposed to go deep in this now. So here we are.
Thrown right into it. And it's really interesting that you should talk about this, because even though my husband doesn't work in the business with me, he's got his own career. He's like the OL of, you know, in the banking career. So I left banking career. So I left banking to kind of pursue this whole entrepreneurship journey. And John has stayed, you know, as an employee because he loves it. But I remember back with those whole legacy meetings that you speak of, that when I was first getting going, and even though John wasn't in the business with me, it was one of those things that I've twigged onto pretty quickly, that to maintain the support of him and for him to understand what, like you asked the question, what the heck are you doing? You know, like the paycheck, the first and the 15th in the month don't roll around like they used to when you were getting a regular paycheck. So it was almost like I felt like I had to front up and be accountable to him and say, well, this is what I've been up to. Mm-hmm. So that whole strategy that you implemented around those legacy meetings are super, they really do work and they're really important.
Yes.
And I want to unpackage that too, as we kind of move through today's conversation, because I actually think for me, and it sounds like for you, that was kind of like the start and the moment where things started to blossom. So for those that are either thinking about being in business together with your significant other or who are in business, maybe we can help everybody kind of we'll unlock that and sort of start to unfold what that looks like. So we'll get to that in just a few moments. And I know that OL is just, he's just joined.
He just walked away. So I think he went to go put the thing in the car. So we'll see what happens.
No worries. Look, we never know, guys. He might actually end up being on the screen and we can have a bit of a chat with him too. And we'll get a double whammy. So
he just walked back in. Do you want to sit right here? Okay, he's going to come on over. Well, we have the earbud thingies.
That whole thing of marriage, you figure out how to share, right? Yeah, right? It might be one each. Well, this is a first, guys. We don't normally have people kind of jump in mid-show, but what the heck? Why not? Hey, OL.
Hi, nice, how are you, Tracy?
Great to have you here. We were just having a bit of a chat about kind of when things all started, because your career, you know, being in banking, as Sway had alluded to, she said, you know, I know your background too was banking. So I kind of get where you're coming from. I've been there too in that whole banking and wealth space, and then jumped into this entrepreneurial, you know, I want to say mammoth boat that, you know, that we now continue to row forward. But you guys being in business together, and you know, today's show is all about like how do you do that? How do you make working together actually work? Because it does require you know, focus and attention and work, right? Like every marriage, it's a marriage within the within the marriage, so to speak, because it's almost like creating that kind of separate. And I'm wondering, how do you guys actually do that? How do you compartmentalize that? How do you make the process of having a harmonious and a happy marriage now work in that business space?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, obviously. And I think it's two parts or two sides of the same coin. And I'll say it's a external and an internal thing. And so externally, meaning, you know, that which is outside of yourself, it's going to deal with systems, making sure that you have systems of checks, balance, accountability, things that help you to have an understanding as to how your day is going to be approached and how each day is going to be approached and executed. Also make sure that you have things that are fail safes. And by that, I mean, if there's a particular task or something that has to be addressed on a particular day, say if you're working on a launch and you have an understanding of what roles are, what checkpoints of things need to be done in order to ensure that that launch is as successful as it can possibly be, then you want to have those things in place so everybody understands what it takes to make the business work, even if they are not doing everything within the business. So it's having an awareness of each other's roles, having an awareness of each other's core competencies. And so making sure that everyone is doing what they're best suited for, that by itself will help offset potential frustrations. And so I would say that from an external standpoint, from an internal standpoint, by that I mean more so what is the understanding between the two of you or between the two of us. It's going to require several things. One, recognize that you're dealing with an imperfect person who's imperfect like you, making sure that there is communication that is, how do I want to say this, that is not condemning communication or finger pointing or blame shifting communication, but the kind of communication where you have an emotional trust with one another that you can be clear, open, transparent, vulnerable, and say those things without it being a blight on you as an individual, but more so on, you know, whatever the thing is itself. So like, as a quick example, if there's something within the business that we're doing and I'm struggling with it, well, rather than, not say something, because meanwhile the clock is ticking and she has an expectation of something, I need to say, hey, this isn't going well for me right now, and I'm not totally sure why. That kind of communication helps us even, I'll say interpersonally, or maybe the word is intrapersonally. I'm not quite sure which one would be the right way to say it. But my point being is that I can't compartmentalize so much so that I say, hey, we're business partners, without realizing she's my wife. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, there's no way to really compartmentalize that, but I do have to do it in a way, or should I say, we have to do it in a way that there are distinctions in the sense of what it is that we're doing, because just because we're building a business does not necessarily mean that we're building a marriage. And that has to be true because, well, we see people who build great businesses, but not necessarily great marriages. And money is no factor. So I'll leave it there.
And I think I love the fact that you've made that distinction, because before we actually jumped on, you know, I was doing a little bit of research on, you know, divorce rates and how they're even heightened when you're in business together. And I even know that we've got some people watching that, you know, been in business together previously, and mm-hmm. how challenging it can be. So that distinction that you make, you know, about we're building a business together doesn't necessarily mean that we're building a great marriage together. What sort of things could one do? Because, I mean, ultimately, when you're married and, we start out in this, marriage that you want to build something together. That's ultimately why we go and we get married to that person because you're married to that person because, you're going to be with them forever, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start building a business together. And your intention there is also that things are going to go really well, that your intention is you're going to build this business together. It is going to strengthen your marriage. It's going to, whatever your marriage look like now and all, roses and butterflies, that's what business is going to be like. But ultimately, often that doesn't kind of pan out that way. So what are some of the things that we can do? Because life is life. And, as much as I ask the question, how do you compartmentalize? Mm-hmm. The reality is that it's all of you. It's like your entire life. You can't really compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. So how do you ensure that you're at the same time as you're building your business, you are continuing to build your marriage?
Mm-hmm. I'll offer something and then I'll have, I know my wife has something to say about that as well. I'll just say this much. I think it's important to visit and revisit. Why are we building this business? And I say that because sometimes, even unknowingly, the two of us could be building the business for different reasons. Yeah. I could be building the business because I'm trying to prove something to myself, whereas she could be wanting to build the business because she's trying to shore up our legacy on the long term. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not trying to shore up a legacy long term either. It just means that the drivetrain behind my motive for building this business is probably more driven from some void. Maybe I've had business launches in the past that weren't successful, and now I'm trying to prove something to my inner circle, friends and family. And if I'm building that way, and that's my motivation, and that's going to be the lens through which I see any failure or any success.
Yeah, I would also say to keep it super simple. And a simple strategy that all of us have heard of before is having consistent date nights and date nights that don't turn into work nights. And so we have on our date nights, we call it a no work zone. So we're not talking about business. We're not checking emails. We're not thinking about, but we're doing whatever we need to do to preoccupy our minds and make sure that we are present with one another. Like that is what we fight for, right? And it takes everything mm-hmm. in us because we enjoy what we do. And so we could even be asking each other, okay, how was your day? But that'll be like the extent of that. And then it's like, okay, how are you doing? What's going on with you? And then we have gone to the extent of like finding different games or conversation topics, just being very intentional, like just Googling, okay, what are some questions I could ask my spouse to learn more about them, right? Like, what are some games that we can play? What are some fun things? Because we can get so caught up we're very driven. And we need to be just as driven in our marriage, right? We need to be just as driven, if not more, in our marriage. And so definitely having those no work zones. So we have date nights. That's like a pillar for us. And then we have a day of the week where our goal is to rest. And that resting it feels like date night 2.0, but the resting is really just having family time. It's catching up. It's doing everything else but work, like just a day, a good 24-hour time span each week to say, okay, how can we rest? How can we Sabbath? How can we rest our brains? How can we rest our minds, rest our hearts, and just have fun? Like really enjoy this day and enjoy the fruit of our labor. How do we do that? What does that look like for us? What are our hobbies? What do we enjoy doing outside of business? And so we have to hold ourselves accountable because many times, we can slip up and start saying something. If I say something that sounds slightly remotely like business, he'll say, oh, wait, is this about business? And like vice versa, right? And so we have to catch ourselves like, oh, that's right. Okay, let me talk about something else. Right. Or not, we're not listening to podcasts about business on that day. We're not reading business books on that day. We're not having business thoughts on that day. So we're even keeping our minds preoccupied with other things that we just would enjoy doing. It could be the nothingness. Right. Like whatever that other thing is to keep us away from thinking about business so we can just enjoy this journey together. So mm-hmm. they it's very simple, but it's not easy, right? There's a simple concept, but it definitely requires discipline and accountability.
That discipline enabling you not to be all consumed by the business and by those mm-hmm. thoughts of business, and just, you know, having those moments of you time and me time mm-hmm. and not having to do any of that. I want to go down the path of one of the things that I know that you guys teach a lot about is like this concept of implementing wealth roles, because one of the things that often trips a lot of entrepreneurs or business owners up is that, you know, that concept of a paycheck is not coming on a Monday, on a first of the month or the 15th of the month. That's not happening. You know, you've got to create that. You have to create that momentum and build the income streams. So let's talk about this concept that you have of implementing wealth roles. What do you mean by that, and how does one do it?
Yes, yeah, so wealth roles is a part of one of our proprietary systems called the Marriedpreneur Method. And that Marriedpreneur Method is really about those hot syncing those high level systems with strategies to, this is not necessarily working on the business per se, but really working on your systems to make sure that you all are clear. So when you do get to the profitability system that we go over, you already have a rhythm down or something that you're working toward. So it's five steps within the Marriedpreneur Method. That first step is creating your Marriedpreneur vision, just making it super simple. What is your goal for your marriage, for both of you? What is your goal for the business? And what does that look like as a legacy, bringing those together? The marriage is the core, the business supporting the marriage, not the other way around. That's the first step. And the second one is really being clear on your communication. So it's called power talk, or power couple power talk. And so really making sure that you're clear on your communication styles in business, what that looks like, because in business it can be different from just how we normally communicate. What does that look like, especially for working together as a wife? I had to understand how to speak to my husband, the tone that he felt respected in and honored in. My whole life, pretty much from the age of 16, I've been growing businesses and really feeling like I had to fend for myself. So when someone would ask me questions, I mean, and then starting a staffing firm, I'm like signing, you know, people's checks and they're on payroll. So I remember when we got married and I said something to him, and I was just, you know, I'm pretty direct. And mm-hmm. he said, wait, I'm not on your payroll. And I was like, I know you're not. I'm just telling you like what we need to do. Da, 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 da. He was like, no, you don't understand. I am not on your payroll. And so just understanding, okay, my communication style and business can and needs to be when I'm speaking to him, I need to honor him as my husband first. Yes, we may be working in business, but he needs to feel honored and respected. That's what he requires. And I want to do that to honor him. And so understanding what that looks like for you as a couple. The third step is gifts and graces. And so just understanding what your grace to do, what your giftings are, and what those strengths are. And usually what happens is we individually can overlook it, but our spouse can say, you know what, you're really good at such and such. You have a great knack for writing, or you have a great knack for speaking, or you have a great knack for this. And so, okay, wow. Now the next step, the fourth step, is wealth roles. So wealth roles is actually taking those gifts and graces and monetizing them and making sure that you're focused on those wealth roles. So you're able to look at all the tasks that you have. You're able to eliminate the ones that you need to eliminate. You're able to automate the ones that you need to automate, delegate the ones that you need to delegate. And then the remaining ones are your wealth roles. That's your sweet spot. That's it. That's your jam right there. And so that's number four. And then the fifth and final step is optimized time. And that's really making sure that you have the right systems in place for you to all to steward your time, not just individually, but steward it as a couple, right? So we have to communicate about our schedules. Like when we took this trip, when we scheduled it, we were initially supposed to be here a little earlier. So when you saw me in the car, that wasn't the plan, right? Because we did talk about it. So we did get through it, but it hasn't always been that way. Sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, I said I was going to do this interview and we're going to be driving. You know, sometimes that happens, but that is very rare that happens now. So just having systems in place for our calendars to connect and collaborate, but then also to make sure that we're focusing more so on revenue generating activities versus non-revenue generating activities, and making sure that we're following out, you know, our dream week and what that looks like. What does it look like for our family? right? Not just individual entrepreneur, but as marriedpreneurs, what do we want that to look like? And then really be intentional about putting those boundaries in place to make sure that we can attain those, as get as close, you know, to as possible to them, mm-hmm. knowing that life still happens. So that's the outline, a high view of the marriedpreneur methods, but wealth roles is right there. Number four.
Love that. And it's, you know, that whole system being really dialed in and being very intentional about the way in which you guys do it. So I absolutely love that, you know, the way in which you've described and explained that. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is like, so we've talked about kind of married couples. Yeah. Now let's go to the point where, you know, you add the next layer to the mix. Let's add in some kids and some pets and all that sort of stuff. Now, where are we at? So what are some of the things that you guys would do or encourage, you know, those that are in business together that have then got family? And, you know, we're not just talking about, you know, your own immediate family, your children, but then the extended family. How does that play out in life in that sense?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, I think one of the ways to offset any misunderstandings about what it takes and requires to build a business is to explain the nature of entrepreneurship. And you can do that with children and family, extended family and friends, without explaining the nuances. And so the nature is that it's demanding, and much of it rests and rides on the two of you as married entrepreneurs. And, you know, it's one thing to have an understanding between the two of you, but it's also another thing that your family has an understanding of what is the nature of entrepreneurship. There's a lot of misunderstandings. There's a lot of myths. There are a lot of things that need to be debunked. There are aspects that need to be revealed. So that they understand the nature of entrepreneurship without having to always go through all the nuances of what it is that you do. Yeah. And often you can explain to them your industry. You can even help them understand your niche. So they understand, if you're in a service capacity, let's say you all are coaching, consulting, you're probably going to be doing a lot of Zoom stuff. And so when you need it to be quiet in the background, because they understand the nature of it, not always the nuances, they are prepared for that understanding, rather than to say, why is it we have to be quiet every time, you know, they're on a Zoom call or whatever, or why is it this and that? And so, and a lot of times those misunderstandings are because they don't understand the nature of what it is that you do. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I would say help them to understand the fact that you're building, which means it's not necessarily built. Mm-hmm. And so when something is built, and of course, this depends on what phase you all are in or what stage you all are in. If you don't have an elaborate, you know, bench support where you have, you know, this, you know, four or five team members, and maybe the two of you are doing two and or three roles each, help them understand that as well. Help them understand that as well. You know, and explain we're building, and it's not necessarily built per se. And we're working on the business for the most part, but there are aspects where we may have to work in the business, or even if there's a seasonality to it, you know what? We've got a launch coming up next month, which means it's going to be all hands on deck, which means we're going to need extra support for things around the house. And, you know, ask them, you know, do you understand that?
Then
you know,
the reward too. We always like to look, what is the reward?
Yeah. What's the reward of that? So I would leave it there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great, you know, a great advice is to just share where you're at, because I can totally relate to that. I mean, earlier this year, for those that have been listening to the show for a little while, they'll all know that I had my parents move in with me. And so, you know, them not seeing previously, like, how does Tracy work all day, every day? You know, most of what I do now is with overseas clients, and it's through Zoom calls. And to them, it's like, what are you doing? You're just talking all day, talking to people online, you know, but them not really understanding understanding the nature of what you do. So then being able to explain to them, so then not having to say, hey guys, can you be quiet? I mean, I laugh at it now, but I can remember a couple of times when they first moved in and I'm trying to do a show like this. And, you know, I had explained previously, you've got to be really quiet because, you know, these things, this microphone picks up everything. And, you know, mum's in the kitchen, clank, clank, clank. And, you know, mum's in the kitchen, clank, clank, clanking around. And I'm like, what can I grab off of my desk to just throw against the wall?
Right.
You know, I laugh at it now, but at the time when you're trying to say, well, this is what I do and this is how it works. So taking that time to actually explain to them what it is that you do, why you do it, what you're trying to build, and potentially even what phase you're in, and that distinction that you made, you know, we're in building phase. It's not built yet. You know, you actually have to build it before you can, you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. So the last thing I sort of want to wrap up, and I see Robin Helms now having a bit of a laugh because I think she even remembered that moment when I did that. I'm like, what is that? Just pick that up and throw it against the wall and hope that that mum kind of gets the message that, oh, I've got to be quiet. That's right. She's on the show.
that's funny.
But you know, in terms of like advice that you would give to others that are either thinking about, you know, we've got something together, we should start our own business, or they're in business together, like what would be your top three tips you would give other couples who are in business together to ensure that they remain in business together and they remain happily married?
I'll start us off. First, though, I think it's important to understand that everybody's path looks different, right? And we realized over the last several years of working and serving married entrepreneurs that there are really three main categories of marriedpreneurs. Before I say that, we also believe that if one spouse is called to entrepreneurship, then the family is called to entrepreneurship. We speak about that a lot on our Marriedpreneur Life podcast because we've realized that many times people think that there is a it has to look a certain way, right? It has to fit this mold and this model, and then you're breaking yourself to try to fit into something that you were not made to do in that way, right? So with the three different types of marriedpreneur types, there are the spousalpreneurs, which is what we started off as, where one spouse is working or operating the business while the other spouse works a 9-to-5. And then there are the indiepreneurs. And the indiepreneurs are the couples where both spouses are building individual businesses. And then there are the couplepreneurs. The couplepreneurs are where both spouses are building the same business together. Now, you can be, we've been all three of those, not at the same time, but throughout life, we can be two at the same time. We're two, you know, indie and couplepreneurs. But we also have to realize that there are red flags, very unique red flags to look out for with each one. And we can share those with you.
Yeah. So as spousalpreneurs, where one of you is really driving the business and the other one is either a 9-to-5 or playing some supporting role, what can tend to happen in a case like that is that the two of you can sort of become like running mates. And by that, I mean, where one is sort of top billing and the other one is sort of like, where do I fit in? And so that can be a challenge potentially to watch out for. So one of the spouses, in other words, could not feel valued or valuable. Yeah. And so that's really important. Now, with regards to the indiepreneur, where the two of you are running, you know, separate businesses, then one of the potential red flags to watch out for is becoming like roommates. So maybe once a week, you know, at breakfast, you're swapping war stories, but for the most part, you're living like roommates, or maybe you're just splitting the house bills down the middle. And so you're kind of two ships passing in the night. And so there's a potential there to be like roommates. When it comes to couplepreneurs, where the both of you are running the business together, one of the potential red flags is that you can become like cellmates, where the business has the two of you on lockdown. And when that happens, you'll know, because the tail will be wagging the dog.
And that's all you can talk about together. You don't even know.
Yeah, it consumes all your conversation.
Yeah.
And there's no distinction between, wait, are we having a business connection or a marital connection?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's obviously a huge one that can, you know, if not picked up and dealt with as quickly as possible or identified, and, you know, you realize that, hey, hang on a minute, we're cell partners here and or cellmates here. And, well, this is not going to go down a very good path. You know, a jail sentence for X number of years is not the idea of a great marriage, right? So marriage, right? So, you know, and part of your program, right, is like going through these three different styles and like understanding like what are the red flags? How do I identify those? Because I think that's one of the, that's actually one of the most valuable things that we can do for others is like give them, it's almost like that mirror and saying, hey, you know, there's a red flag showing over here. We're identifying that, or you now have the skill set to be able to identify it. Now, what do you actually do about it? So I love that, you know, and often that's something that is overlooked. Like often as, you know, as teachers or as entrepreneurs that are mentoring and coaching others, it's very easy to kind of look down the path of, I'm just going to give them all the nice stuff of what they need to do and not actually looking on the fringes and saying, well, ooh, hold on a minute. You know, there's something looming over there that you need to be aware of. Because if you can identify that and they can get onto it sooner rather than later, then they've got a much, you know, much better chance of fulfilling their dreams and leading out their legacy.
Absolutely.
Of their marriage and the business that they're creating, whether it be an individualpreneur or as a couple.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
So I think I answered, that was like one thing I would recommend, just to make sure that people know that their path is going to be unique, right? I think that would be the first thing. Do you have two other ones?
Yeah, well, I would say, yeah, know that your path is going to be unique. I would also say define for your family what success looks like rather than assume another entrepreneur's definition of success. Because everyone doesn't have to build a Fortune 500 company to be successful. You have to really establish that. If you really establish that, if you don't, then you'll be, you know, like a boat without moorings. You won't be anchored or tethered to anything real, and you'll be subject to whatever the trend of the waves are. So if the trend in entrepreneurship is, this is what successful entrepreneurship looks like, then you'll pivot and pursue that. And then 6 months later, the flavor will change and they'll say, no, it's actually this. And then you'll pivot and do that. And so you got to be very, very cautious of that. Because you ultimately won't end up being successful at all because you would have splintered your focus. And so that's really important.
Go ahead.
I want to say that point there is huge because that is something that you see often. And I'm sure that when you're coaching people, you've probably seen them almost have that kind of, what do you call it, shiny object syndrome of this is the thing of the moment. I'm going to go over here. And like you say, it splinters your ability to be able to be successful because no longer are you focused in one particular way, in one particular area and giving that a red hot crack and getting it to the point where actually, you know, it's like holding that the magnifying glass over something, hold it there long enough that it actually is going to be able to catch fire. You know, if we keep moving that magnifying glass to some other place, then it never catches a light. So I think that is extremely important. And I see that happening time and time again. And I'm even going to put my hand up and say, man, I've been there too. You know, where you're like, the coach said, I've got to go over and do this now. So, you know, you pivot and you start doing that and it does tend to take your focus. You know, it does splinter your attention and therefore splinters your focus and your ability to be successful and profitable. So just hang on to that magnifying glass and keep it there as long as you can until you start a blazing fire.
That's right.
It's kind of the metaphor right here, the metaphor right here. So I just wanted to make that point because it is a really important one.
Yes. That's a great one. And I would say thirdly, you may have something else to add too as a bonus. I don't know. But definitely I would say get connected, get plugged in with the right coaches, the right community that will support what your definition of success is and hold you accountable and give you the skills to actually get there, right? Like all of those things together, like that's, it's just important to to get plugged in. Because if you feel like you could do it on your own, you would have already done it, right? Like, why haven't you already started? What's really stopping you then? I think, and I'll just say personally for us, that we're very unique in what we offer working specifically with married entrepreneurs. We are not everyone's cup of tea, but those who are their cup of tea, we crush it, right? And so we know we have the experience. We know what we're talking about. We know how to get you results, and we know how to hold you accountable in a loving way, right? But put that fire under both of you, because we realize that it's not just about business. It's really going to impact not every single time. It's always impacted the marriage. It's always impacted the marriage where sometimes it gets a little messy before it gets pretty. It gets, you know, you have to confront some things that maybe you just didn't want to talk about before, or you just, you know, find yourself a little agitated with certain conversations, but they need to be had so you can work through that. And then having the right coaches, having the right community with other like-minded marriedpreneurs as well, right? Who are growing through it. Like, oh yeah, girl, we went through that last month. We understand. You'll be all right on the other side, right? Like, it's okay. So just having that encouragement, because otherwise it can feel very lonely, because it can be a lonely journey. And it could feel very discouraging, because you're like, is anybody else going through this? Or, you know, is anybody through this? Or, you know, is anybody else feeling like this? Or it's just us. And then that usually what happens is that starts the whole start, stop cycle, mm-hmm. right? So you think about it, but you actually never really take action on it. So that's what we do. We help marriedpreneurs take action together, whether they're indie spousal or couplepreneurs.
Fantastic. So I want to make sure that everybody knows that they can get in touch with you guys. So where's the best place for people to go if they, you know, they're in a situation where they're in business with their spouse, or they're wanting to start a business with their spouse? Where can they go to get some more of OL and Sway? Where's the place to be?
Sure. Well, definitely the hub spot on the web is marriedpreneurlife.com, marriedpreneurlife.com. And there we have some great resources, trainings, free downloads, all that great stuff. We also will be hosting a challenge coming up soon for marriage coaches and married entrepreneurs who are seeking to build out a profitable strategy together. So they can actually get moving. So that'll be coming up soon. They can get on the wait list there. There on at marriedpreneurlife.com. We also have, you know, opportunity to do a systems call with them too, a systems assessment for married entrepreneurs as well too. But everything is at marriedpreneurlife.com.
Beautiful. Well, guys, I've popped that up on the screen. So marriedpreneurlife.com is where you can hang out some more with both OL and Sway, and you can start building, you know, that the marriage and the life of your dreams. It's the thing that you've been dreaming about. Let's get it done. Let's get you into momentum, and you can head on over and spend some more time with these guys. The other point that I wanted to come back to, because I love the fact that you said, you know what, we realize that, you know, we're not everybody's cup of tea. And often as entrepreneurs, you know, we get hung up on that. Oh, they don't like me. But when you get to understand, hey, there's a certain type of person that I know really jives with me, that really, you know, works well with my style or our style in your guys' case. And we know that we get them some really good results. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself, you know, gets you to a point where you almost take off those chains and the shackles of trying to hide, and allows you to be out there, put yourself out there, because it then doesn't matter what people say, because the right type of people are going to be attracted to you. So I just wanted to make that point too, because I love what you said about that. So I want to say, hey guys, thank you so much for being on today's show. I know it's been a bit hectic for you. You've been traveling and it was like, oh, get to the hotel. It's like, oh, get to the hotel and get up there to jump on today's show. And initially we had organized for just Sway to be here. So I'm super grateful that we just happened to hit the right time that OL could join us. Right. So thanks, guys. It's awesome to have you both. You're both doing some amazing things, and I want to thank you for what you're doing to give back to, you know, to entrepreneurship.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tracy. We had a blast, and this was wonderful.
Yay,
thank you.
So much fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, hey guys, if you want to have more of the Unlock Show, the place to find us is on Facebook. We go live on Facebook and on YouTube every week on Wednesdays and Fridays, Australian Brisbane time at 10 a.m. So if you want to hear more, you've got to head on over to Tracy M. Wilson on Facebook and you'll see this live stream happening every single week. And I'm going to be back again with another episode of Unlocked on Friday at 10 a.m. Brisbane time. So I want to say thanks so much for joining us for today. Thank you to our very wonderful guests that have been here, OL and Sway Buckley. They have been amazing. And I look forward to seeing everybody on another episode of Unlocked this Friday. Thanks very much and bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.